Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to AccessibleWorld.org, the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room. The date is January 18, 2010. And we have an exciting and dear friend here to speak to us today. He is Mike May, and he's going to talk to us about the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. I used to hear it on, I think he used to do it on playback, and we always look forward to that and other podcasts, but we're honored to have him here today. So without further ado, let me introduce Mike, and he'll tell you how he wants to handle the questions. He may speak, and then at the end, open it up to questions, or he may do it in the middle, and we'll help out here as we go along. So without further ado, let me give the microphone over to Mike. Mike, welcome to Tech Talk.
Bob, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me on short notice. I think, as you pointed out, this is the sort of thing that's timely, and so we needed to get it on while it was relevant. People have probably heard a lot on the news about the different devices, probably a lot more than I've heard since I was there in the midst of it and not listening to the news, but maybe I can offer a slightly different perspective from the standpoint of a blind person going around those tens of thousands of square feet of exhibit halls in Las Vegas, along with some friends and colleagues who are also doing it. We decided this year, after our approach last year, which was to team up with Stevie Wonder and to get a lot of attention around accessibility, which we did quite well with his assistance. But what I missed out on in that approach was the ability to actually go to the different booths and feel things and talk to people. So I got together with a couple of other blind folks, Mark Riccobono, Wes, who I think is probably going to be on here tonight, who is with our group that can fill in some blanks that I might forget, Michael Barber, Karen Zacnini, and we ran into some other blind folks while we were down there, Edwin Lynch, who I've known for many years from the Bay Area, another guy who did a vending stand up at Hoover Dam, and those are just the people I happened to run into out of 140,000 people. I mean, other than Mark and Wes and Michael, who I organized this with. So I'll tell you what I ran into and what I heard about, and this is, by the way, probably my 30th CES, something like that. I've been going, the first time was in 1984, and CES used to be in Las Vegas and also in Chicago. It was twice a year, but in those days there was a Comdex for computer stuff, which was also in Las Vegas, which ended sometime in the late 90s. The interesting thing is that I consider CES, particularly if you do it alone without sighted assistance, the Mobility Olympics. It's absolutely amazing to be walking along with thousands of people flowing in either direction. They're all looking to the side. They're all looking at the scantily dressed models and equipment. They're not looking ahead. And so it is a real challenge to do by yourself, which I did for quite a few years if I couldn't find a friend or family member to go with me. But about 8 years ago, when I first started doing the playback reports, the Consumer Electronics Show made the offer of guides. They actually had interpreters for the deaf, and they didn't have enough deaf people to utilize those services, so I came by and they said, well, we'd be happy to send out some people with you. So I mention that just because if anybody here wants to go on their own to Las Vegas, these guides are available, and my experience has been that there's usually one or two guides sitting there without anybody to guide. It's free of charge, and it's an amazing way to see all of this stuff yourself. There are thousands of different things. I'll mention a few trends, and then I'm going to take you on a tour around the floor as though you were going through this chaos yourself. There's two different ways that I approach the floor. One is that I make a list of businesses that I want to see, and I usually try to get to those first. And then I just do it like vacuuming or sweeping or something, very methodically, up one row, back down the other row, up the next row, down the other. And sometimes I can cover 20 companies in an hour, and sometimes I get to two. It depends whether you stop and talk or not. There were a lot of different, of course, media devices this year. 3D was big. I don't know if they interviewed the world to find out if they wanted 3D or not. Not a big deal for blind people other than the fact that these companies are focusing their resources on 3D devices and on monster screens. It was amazing to see some of these 10-foot screens. I think the largest was a Panasonic that had a 12 or 13, 152-inch TV. Unbelievable. So lots of 3D stuff everywhere you went. My son was with me, and he was interested in that stuff. And it actually was kind of interesting to see some of the touch technology being applied to these giant screens and tablets. What I want to do is delineate what some of the cool things were, maybe mention some of the weird things. There's definitely some odd things around there, and you wonder who ever thought of that or who would ever want that. The first thing that I go to each year is the press unveiling, because there's about 50 companies who have won high-tech awards in one category or another, and they are all in one room together with a lot of food and drink to entice press people in. And so I went around that and probably got to 30 of the 50 companies. A couple things caught my attention since I do a fair number of presentations were mini projectors. They're about the size of a pack of cards. That small, and they can project up to a 5, 6, 7 foot image on the wall or on a screen. One from a company called Microvision. And there was another one from 3M, I think it was. Then I wanted, and this isn't going to be in necessarily any categorical order because that's not the way the companies are necessarily set up. Sometimes they're grouped by category. They try to do it to some extent, but a lot of times they aren't. And one of those projectors was laser-based, which if I'm going to get one, I think I would. That's the one I would probably get. By the way, I'll mention to you a few things that are on my wish list, Christmas list, and then a few things that I actually purchased. Although you can't normally purchase many things at CES, I did manage to pick up one item and got another one right afterwards. But those are a couple of things that I'll get to. And that projector, by the way, hooks up to your iPhone. And it doesn't need any focusing, which is nice for a blind person if you're doing presentations because of the lasers. There's a lot of extended battery kind of products. You want anything to back up your phone or any, particularly if you have a mini USB device. There's a whole host of things that do that. A lot of cases, iPhone cases, everything you can imagine. I didn't spend a whole lot of time with those, but I did look at a few. There was a lot of iPhone devices, and there was some Android, and I'm sure there'll be more and more next year. There was one called the V-Phone, and it's kind of interesting because I don't know if any of you have the N86 phone. Mine says, you know, do you want to make a video call? And of course, you can't in the U.S. yet, but this video phone is software from a company called Saigus, S-A-I-G-U-S, and it uses some sort of compression to actually use video over the existing GPRS network. And that's something that's going to be on the market within a few months. I should mention that these projections of when things are going to be on the market really vary. I've seen products there where they said they'd be out in a month and then they never came out, and then others come out pretty quickly. But that one is running on the Android. There was an inch-thick PC, 4x4 inches, you know, quad-core processor, all of that stuff, and it was just a little block, essentially. You, of course, have to hook up all of your computer and other peripherals. The Beehive, and you know, you think of Beehive, there was something called the Beehive, which is an iPhone app that funnels all of your chat clients into one place. So if you have AOL and you have MSN and whatever you have, it's a pain to have more than one of those services. You get the Beehive, and that's what it does. It funnels them together. I was happy to hear that USB 3.0 is finally out. It's supposed to be 10 times as fast as USB 2.0, which is what most people have on their devices today. There was only 17 devices so far that they mentioned that had USB 3.0, but if you're buying a new computer, it's certainly something you'd want to pay attention to get that extra speed. There was a company called Medice. I'm still in the unveiled room where the awards are being presented. Medice was a British company, I believe. And for those diabetes folks, it had automatic insulin monitoring, injection. It tells you how much. It keeps a log of when you last had it and your blood sugar levels, and it calculates all this stuff and then gives you an up-to-date indication of what sort of injection you should take, and it gives you a reminder. They were saying that a lot of people, when you've got to do this regularly, you forget, well, did I really do that this morning or did I not? And it also can be monitored online, so particularly in the case of an elderly person who might need somebody checking up on them, if a person has access to their information and their security information, they could monitor this online. A lot of people have heard about Ocean Blue. This is a British company that is working on a set-top box, and the Wave, and Wes might comment on this more later. I think he knows more about it than I do, but I did talk to the folks, and it's one of those things where it's exciting in theory because the big factor here is, will set-top box manufacturers, will TV manufacturers go along with this technology? Will they integrate it? There wasn't a device that you could buy then or you could go out and buy tomorrow that would give you access. But the idea is that the Ocean Blue box or the technology would give you access to all that wonderful print information which is going out to the screen and we can't have access to. So it really could be one of the more exciting devices that we've heard about, and certainly one that's exciting in terms of accessibility. By the way, in terms of questions, I'm going to go in little chunks and then stop and see if anybody has any questions about what I've mentioned so far, and then I'll carry on a bit more. So make any notes if you hear something I mentioned you want to ask more about it. If I can tell you, I will. Orbit Sound was there. They make these wonderful single-point speakers that use some spatial technology to spread out the sound. Sendero sells one called the Orbit Sound T3 that hangs around your neck, which I really like. And they had an internet radio they were coming out with, along with their other speaker technology that they have is pretty cool. One of the first things I saw that I would buy was called the ZOMM, as in Z-O-M-M. And they refer to it as a Bluetooth leash. It's about the size of, let's say, a 50-cent piece, thicker, and it goes on your keychain, and it acts as two things, as a security device and as a speakerphone. So you link it to your iPhone or whatever phone via Bluetooth, and if that phone gets more than 30 feet away, the Bluetooth connection will be broken, and you'll get a vibration alert telling you that, hey, you're separated from your phone. It could be just because you forgot it, or it could be because somebody took it. For those people in the population who have their phone in a purse or in a briefcase or backpack, and the phone goes off and you scramble for it, you don't get there in time, the ZOMM gives you the option of answering the phone from the ZOMM. You press it on your keychain, and you now have a little speakerphone going on. So it acts as a mini speakerphone and also as a security device. It has an emergency mode where you can hold something down and it automatically dials 911. The retail is going to be $79. Almost through this exhibit hall, I think, there's a company I like called Archer Fish. I'm kind of interested in security cameras. I think it's useful for blind people to take advantage of that technology when it becomes somewhat automated. You might have somebody around sighted who can look at these things. But this archer fish comes from, I won't go into the archer fish, but if you've watched any National Geographic, it's kind of an interesting beast. Cool name. But the way that it works is that it's taking video patterns and matching them with a database of activity. So let's say the FedEx guy or UPS guy comes to your door, drops off a package, and leaves. That has a certain video image, video pattern, if you will. And so the archer fish will tell you via text message on your cell phone, if you want, when that happens. So even if you aren't at home, if this thing is running, it's going to capture this pattern and then convey it to you. Or even if you're in your house, you could get a text message and know what the activity is. If there's somebody that's lingering around your yard, they will identify that pattern and then tell you more about it. The Best of Life folks have some of the more stylish iPod phones. There's an iPod speakers. There's a lot of these things out there. And they have the great names of the Ladybug, the Mantis, and the Firefly. And so picture a ball, let's say the size of, maybe the size of a grapefruit. And then it splits apart with these wings coming out, an iPod dock in the middle of it. And they sound pretty good. You never can tell really how good things sound in CES because it's loud. But they've won a lot of awards, I think probably for their unique design component. And so I'd keep that in mind if you know somebody that has an iPod for a really, really cool design. I mentioned that there were a lot of battery devices out there. There's one called the M-Power, like the Braille Note M-Power. And it was a real nice, solid feeling device that had all the had a USB interface, and it was also a flashlight, and it could act as a battery backup or extended battery for something. The Klipsch folks, who are famous for making really nice speakers, I had the Klipsch horn speakers many years ago, they've made this speaker that integrates into a light. I think this is really clever. It screws into the light bulb, so it has a regular light bulb plug on it. This plugs right in like a regular light bulb would, but it has a speaker and it's LED lights that's all in one unit. So for people who don't want to have bulky speakers around a room, they might like the design component of this, but also, if you don't want to run or can't run speaker wires to a room, it uses power lines to get to your stereo. So in our case, there's a couple of rooms in the house where I'd like to have some kind of speaker in there, maybe for listening to NPR, maybe for listening to music. And so I'd plug in one of these Klipsch speakers, and then the power lines connects it to the stereo system. At the other end, you'd have a little interface that goes into your stereo and plugs into the power line and acts as the interface to this device. It's really meant, at least the model that I saw, and I'm sure they'll have more, it's meant to go into can lights. It wouldn't be something you could necessarily stick into a lamp. You could, but it would be kind of bulky. The other thing that I saw at the unveiling was the Eaton Scorpion. This is the smallest of their emergency preparedness devices. They've been around the blindness community for a long time. I know they talked about it a lot on Playback and back in the day. This one is about the size of a flashlight, and it has a whole bunch of stuff. It has a crank to crank it up to get power. It has solar panels on it. It has USB charger. It has a bottle opener, an AM/FM radio, NOAA. I think I said flashlight. It has all of that stuff, and it's pretty inexpensive. I think it's. Let's see if I have a note on the price here. I think it was in the $59 range. I didn't make a note of that. So I'm going to take a break here and just see if anybody has any questions about what I've blown through. So,
Okay, again, if you have a question, you should have done an F8 and write the word question and enter, and your name pops up right next to it, and Ron will recognize you. That's if you have a microphone. If you don't have a mic, hit F8, write your question, and enter. So let me recognize Ron Ailey. Ron, do we have any questions at this time?
Currently, I see three questions. Matthew Bullos is waiting.
Hello, thanks for the presentation. I'm wondering if one of the products that you saw at this convention was the U-Rock guitar.
I did not see that.
Nice try, Matthew. He's our guitar man here. Okay, Ron, next question, please.
John Melia is the next person.
I don't really have a question, but one comment I'll make is, as you know, 3D television is coming out, and not all sighted people are going to be able to take advantage of it. Kim Komando, for example, she has a list every day, and she can't take advantage of it. People have different vision problems. 3D will not work.
Well, it's a good point, and my son said that he didn't see why it was such a big deal. He's 17 years old. That's why I made the comment that I wonder if they really surveyed people before they got all fired up and spent a lot of money on this. Also, if you don't have the 3D glasses on, which you need for all of the units so far, there's a Samsung unit that's a prototype that would show 3D without glasses, but that's a ways off yet. And they said if you don't have those glasses on and you look at it, it's kind of disquieting.
Okay. And Ron, another question, please.
Jerry Hogan is next.
Hey, Mike. They're using that Archer Fish security camera system. I'm eventually going to be putting a system in my home. And is that also user-friendly for the screen reader, where you can go online and away from home and I know you can't see the monitor, but you know that you turn the monitor on, which monitor you turn on, and it'll focus to that area, and you can rotate it, and if you want to listen, you can listen in too. Is it user-friendly for the screen reader?
Jerry, that's a good question. I don't know yet because I haven't checked out the website, but most of these security devices are using a web interface, so you can check these things online. So my guess is, as you were suggesting, you won't see the video, but if there's an alert that says you have a certain pattern that comes up, you should be able to get it online. The thing that appealed to me about this was if I could get a text message, then it saves me having to get on the computer, sort through a web interface. I can just get it straight away and cut to the chase.
Okay, Ron, do we have any other question at this time?
Kevin Chow is waiting.
Hello there, Mike. I have a question also about the camera that allows you to track a specific pattern and provide you a text message. When you tested out the service or when you asked the people the questions about regarding the particular service, how detailed was the information, like, for example, with the FedEx person coming by and dropping off the package and then driving off? What type of information would it convey in that specific text message?
Kevin, my understanding is that you would pick the things that you want it to alert about. So it's not going to say it's FedEx or UPS. It's just going to say package dropped off. If that's the item that you checkbox, it would just send you that canned message for that particular pattern activity. And one slight clarification, I'm assuming that people have a screen reader on their phone, and so that's how they'd be able to read the text message that came to them.
Okay, good questions here. Any other questions, Ron? We'll have one or two more, and then we'll see what Mike wants to do.
Gary Wood is the last other person waiting.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ron. And thank you, Mike, for being here and everybody. I don't know if this is really a question or comment, but have you noticed the dichotomy here, Ron, about, you know, these computers and these devices are getting smaller, portable devices, and your screens to show a lot of things on are getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, that is a good point, and I suppose for some low-vision people there might be some advantage in that. If you've got a 10-foot screen and you can magnify letters to be a foot high, maybe there's some benefit there. But I think the scarier part is that things are becoming flatter and more screen-driven. But I think I'll go ahead and continue through some more stuff here if Bob likes, and then we'll come back to some more questions here. I'm trying to wrap up by 6, but that's not I don't have to go anywhere at 6, so if we need to go a bit beyond that, I'm happy to do it.
Very good, Mike. So again, if you do an Alt-L, it should grab it here. Let's see.
Okay. I got my chirp, and I was very excited about a technology from NXT. They make speakers, and I'd seen an announcement about a company called the TuneBug, T-U-N-E bug, as opposed to JuneBug. And the TuneBug and a couple of other companies used what they called surface sound technology. So picture a small disc with a really active speaker element, and so when it's playing music or there's sound coming out, you could really feel it vibrating pretty vigorously. You stick that onto a surface, and now the surface becomes the speaker element. And so as you move this from surface to surface, you get different kinds of sound. You put it on a box. You could even put it on a piece of paper, and it was amazing the sound would go from where you could just barely hear it to being able to hear it pretty effectively. So they had put this on a helmet, a motorcycle or a ski helmet, bicycle helmet. That's one way they were demonstrating it, because the helmet is kind of a nice cavity with a big surface, and it's plastic, and it's the right kind of material to help amplify this little exciter, if you will. That's what you call a small transmitter. The sound quality really depended on the surface, and I don't think it's not going to be as high fidelity as a nice speaker or Bose or any other good speaker system, but for hearing sound and getting the basic sound, I think it was quite good from what I heard. And I was really interested to see what if you put it on a plastic, let's say something the size of a compact flash card case, those little plastic cases that CF cards come in, something little like that. It's a small cavity, it's plastic, and if you put that up on a shoulder strap, I'm always wanting to be able to hear my Braille note or other device, other sound, near my head but not covering the ears. So I'm real interested to do some testing once this comes out to try to see how that works. And that's the TuneBug. Another company using this NXT approach was called Hybra, H-Y-B-R-A, Advanced Technologies. They had a really brilliant idea. When you have a Bluetooth earpiece, there's always a question of, do you leave it in or do you put it in a pocket? And if you get a phone call, by the time you fish it out and put it on, you've missed the call. So you pretty much have to have it in when you're expecting a call or when you're likely to get calls, so you put in your Bluetooth earpiece. What this thing was a ring, a metal ring, rather fashionable. It went on your finger, and there was a model with a little teeny LCD display, and so if you could see and you got a text message, it would come up on this little display. But in any event, when you got a phone call, it would vibrate, and then you push on the ring and it splits apart and it rotates on an axis. So now, if you can, picture a circle that you split in the middle while it's still connected, and half of that circle swings around, so you now have an S shape instead of a circular shape. And you hang that over your ear, and then the S part is coming towards your mouth like a boom mic. So you've just turned this finger ring into a Bluetooth earpiece, which is not going in your ear, it's going around your ear, and it's vibrating using the same idea of, now your head is the surface instead of the helmet, it's vibrating your head, and it's using a combination of bone conduction and surface technology in order to be able to convey the music or the phone call or whatever you're trying to listen to. They say that's going to go for $175. They had another model for people who wear glasses where the two pieces stick onto the back of your glasses. I thought that was, and that's called the sound band, I believe it was. And for more information, you go to HybraTech.com, and that's definitely on my list of things to purchase. And they're going to have ones with different stones in it and so forth. So it's a combination of form and function. There's a company started by a college student, a recent college graduate right here in Davis, California, which was in the top 40 Time Magazine innovations of the year. It's called Orig, as in O-R-I-G, Audio, Orig Audio. And what they've done is taken this vibration technology and made the cavity or the case for this thing out of origami. So take some origami paper or cardboard, shape it into something fun, stick this vibrating speaker thing in it with a cord coming out. So this one's not Bluetooth. The one from TuneBug was Bluetooth, which was, I don't think I mentioned. And that's, you know, makes it particularly nice, no wires. But this one's cheap, and it uses these little origami things with speakers in it. And the guy said they sold 25,000 their first month. So my guess is they're pretty inexpensive. They also have this thing called the Rocket Vibration Device, which is the same sort of NXT thing, and you can put it in whatever you want. For those iPhone users out there, there was a real clever thing that a guy did. He made this case called the Band Shell. Sounds kind of grand for just an iPhone, but you slid out this little piece from your iPhone case, and it curved up right over where the speaker area was, so it created a little mini band shell. So I'd thought of this before in using the Braille notes sometimes with the sound. The speaker is pointing away from you if you have it hanging around your neck and it's down around your belt. But if you take the case and you form the case up about 45 degrees, all of a sudden you're redirecting the sound toward your ears, and that's exactly what these guys are doing with the band shell. I thought it was pretty darn clever. I also should mention, among all this hard work, we did have fun. One of the things I've learned over 25 years of going to CES is where the good parties are. And the best parties are put on by Monster Cable. They've done pretty well with their business, and I've gotten to be friends with the owner, and who rides a Segway, by the way. He's orthopedically disabled. And so this year they had John Legend, who's won 6 Grammys, and Stevie Wonder sat in with him, and I was fortunate enough to go backstage afterwards and hang out and talk with these guys for, till about 3 o'clock in the morning. We really had a great time. I usually go to a concert every night, but this year I just made the one. We went to a special showing and workshop, Wes and I and Mark and Michael, put on by National Public Radio. Their chief technology officer is a real amazing guy who's taken a personal interest in accessibility. And so with HD radios coming out, and a lot of the NPR stations are on an HD, they've been working with different manufacturers to make them accessible. And a company called DICE, D-I-C-E, which is kind of an ironic name for a company in Las Vegas, DICE has come out with a completely accessible radio. Everything talks, every button talks, all the frequencies talk. If it's an HD radio station you go across, it'll say the name of the station. It'll say, 90.5 KXJZ radio. So that's kind of nice, and we got a demo of that, and it's supposed to be shipping in a month or so. So that's the be looking for the DICE radio, and they, pretty sure it was this one. We called our event last year Vision Free, so they've named this model the Vision Free model. NPR also has an internet radio that's dedicated to NPR stations, and I did get one of those, and it's pretty cool. It's not accessible in that the buttons don't talk and the menus and all that stuff. You definitely need sighted help to set it up because you've got to acquire it. What it does is it connects either via cable or Wi-Fi, so you've got to go through that setup process visually. and then you pick the stations that you want to have in your favorites list. And the buttons are all quite nice and easy to use and have a nice tactile feedback. So I have the one button that's set up to my NPR, and I've got about 5 stations in that list now, my local NPR, one in Washington, D.C., one in San Francisco, and a BBC station. And then I can just rotate a knob, and you have to remember the order that these things are in. They're alphabetical, but then you just click on it, and it brings up that station. And the beauty of it is I have a bit of a signal problem where I am in picking up my local NPR station. It's always a little bit fuzzy. So I'm very excited to have just a completely clear connection for this NPR radio. So I highly recommend that device. Back on this idea of security cameras, both at our Sendero office and at my home, we have these Schlage. Well, there's a couple different models, but at work we have these Schlage, which is S-C-H-L-A-G-E. Electronic keypad. So rather than hiding a key for people to find or whatever, you have an electronic keypad and you just punch in the code and it mechanically unlocks the door and in you go. So Schlage has now made a Wi-Fi interface that allows it then to obviously connect with home automation types of things. So one is a security camera that it can connect with and a thermostat. It's not a talking thermostat, which I love mine, and unfortunately theirs isn't, but it will interface with that, and then also a light so you could dim it and so forth. And this is all accessible from a website. It can be controlled from a website and I believe also from your cell phone. There was a lot of universal controllers out there. There was one called iWaveIt by ThinkOptics, and it has both infrared and RF. There's another one by Panco, P-A-N-C-O, that's infrared only. And I think, I'm pretty sure Wes told me about a talking. I'll have to ask him about that when I let go of the mic if he's on here. There's a talking universal controller coming out from somebody. He'll let us know who it was. I didn't see anything new in terms of GPS. One slight thing that was interesting was a GPS unit without maps. So anybody that's hiking or on a bicycle and just wants some of the basic GPS features without a map, sighted person, this one's called Ego Man. There was a fun remote from a company called... Excuse me. Might have to get some water on the next break. So the Tian Chang Liming, don't you love the name of these companies? That's why there's this whole pavilion of offshore little companies, usually in the Las Vegas Hilton. They had a little, like a Nerf football with a remote built in, and so it's got a keypad on it. So you know anybody who's a football fan or a soccer fan, they had football and soccer, they might have had some other balls, with a remote built in. And when somebody says, can I change the channel, you just toss it to them. I thought that was kind of cute. Speaking of weird devices, I think the weirdest thing that I saw, and I'm sure there's probably some weirder ones, I think some of the people walking around were kind of strange, but there was a thing called a TV hat. So picture somebody figures, you know, I want to see them just evolving this idea. I want to see the screen of my iPhone a little bit better. Therefore, I'm going to put a bag over my head and watch it inside of a bag. So what these guys did is they created that sort of concept, except it's a hat, and it comes down around your face, and it has a built-in iPhone holder. So you stick the iPhone and this holder, which is in front of your eyes, and it's now in this dark cavity where you can hear it better and see it better. So how about that? Many things for the iPhone. That had to be the weirdest one. Motorola. I like a lot of their stuff. They had the Mini Blue I mentioned on playback probably 3 years ago. Never came out. Well, supposedly this one is coming out. It's called the HX1. It's a Bluetooth earphone, and it picks up your voice in two different ways. One is in the conventional way with two microphones that do noise canceling, or it has this little probe in your ear, and it picks up, if you switch to that mode, from bone conduction. So you can actually, in a noisy environment, whisper, and the person on the other end is going to hear you because they're not going to hear the outside sound because they're only hearing from what comes from inside your head. $149, which seems to be the standard price for high-end Bluetooth earphones, and it could have some real benefits. I suppose the slight downside is that the vibration from your head is going to be a little lower frequency response than probably you'd get from a regular Bluetooth. They also had some Bluetooth speakers that weren't too big, let's say 3 inches square, 3 to 4 inches square. One was kind of rectangular, the BT215 for $69, and a T325. I think I had a T305 or something like that, which used for connecting to the Braille note. Plantronics has something I'm going to check out. I have a lot of their headsets, both Bluetooth and then for the office. The one I'm talking on right now is to my phone, the CS50, which is great to use with as a computer, wireless computer headset. Well, they now have one that's called the Savvy Office, and that combines your computer and your phone. So I have two identical devices in my office, one for the computer and one for the phone, and I think that Savvy Office probably combines both. One of my favorite Bluetooth earpieces, because of the noise rejection and the fact that it's really light, is the Discovery 975. I had the 925, still have it, and the 975 is very cool. It's got this cool little case that it resides in that doubles as a battery, and the 975 has something like four times the battery life of the 925. So that's coming out shortly, and I think should be pretty good. I'm going to take another break here for any questions.
Okay, absolutely. Let's see if Wes is here, who might want to make a comment. So hold back for 1 second. We'll have questions in a moment. Wes, are you there? And any comments would be appreciated. He might have. Let's try one more time. Wes, can you copy us?
Yes, sir, I am here. Mike commented a bit on the Ocean Blue set-top box. I did see a personal demo of this with Mark Riccobono and Michael Barber and Karen Zagnini, and it was it's a very interesting concept. As Mike said, it is something that manufacturers will have to incorporate into their system because it's not just simply software that can be installed. And basically, using text-to-speech audio, the box prompted whenever a channel was switched to it would read what was on that particular channel that was tuned to. In addition, it would announce whether there were special attributes like subtitles, the presence of audio description, and the like. In addition, you could go on to the electronic program guide to see what was on certain channels at that given time. And in addition, you could go configure some of the menu options. And one of the things I noticed at CES was the fact that these set-top boxes were really popular. I looked at a lot of TVs and set-top boxes that basically converted your TV into almost a computer with small apps that you'd download, kind of like you would on the iPhone or iPod Touch. Like you could send tweets, send Facebook messages, and the like from your TV remote. There was one Vizio TV that had a remote where you could... the remote looked normal on the top, and then you'd slide the top to the side, and you'd see a full QWERTY keyboard, small QWERTY keyboard, but it was a full one, you could type internet searches and the like into. So that was kind of cool. None of these are accessible yet, but they're, you know, this is a new industry.
And Wes, what about the talking remote?
Yes, that's an RCA product. I wasn't able to test the speech recognition aspect of it in the convention hall because it was just so loud. But it does talk. It will allow you to program the remote using your voice, you'll be able to record macros. For example, you could say play DVD and it would switch your TV to video, turn on your DVD player. It's going to be around $39, supposed to come out in the spring.
As long as we're on the topic of remotes, if I know you saw the, I'm pretty sure you saw the Amulet talking remote for Windows Media. Any thoughts about that?
Actually, I haven't played real extensively with that. That was when we were doing some of our Divide and Conquer. I know some of our other group members had seen that, but I haven't got a chance to see that yet.
Okay, I'll come back to that after we take some other questions. But thanks for the comments.
Absolutely. Thank you, Wes. You guys really did your best to cover this very well. Okay, Ron, do we have any questions, please?
Larry Lumpkin has a question.
Hi, Mike and Ron. We're enjoying it very much. We're very interested in a completely accessible Wi-Fi radio that a blind person, of course, can set up and configure independently. I was wondering if any of your groups saw any, or do you have any news on that front? Thank you.
Larry, I think we would definitely know about that if there was one that was fully accessible. I think at this point the best bet is online, and a lot of these things are online. The benefit of the Wi-Fi in a box approach is, of course, for something that's simple and dedicated and kind of like the NPR radio that I mentioned, but nothing like that I'm aware of.
Okay, yes, I'm sure you'd know if there were. Okay, next question, Ron, please.
Francis Vitola is waiting.
Okay, I have, maybe two questions. One, I'm interested in the what you spoke about before, the emergency thing that you saw. Can you really charge everything by the sun? I mean, like the AM/FM radio and the flashlight and the weather radio. And how can we get that? And also, I'm interested in the Dice HD radio. Do you know who's going to sell that, or how much it's going to cost, or anything?
Regarding the Eaton Scorpion, you can't always depend on the sun. It's an alternative. So the nice thing about that unit is that it has multiple ways of charging. It's got the crank. So if you don't have any sun and you crank that thing, then you're set no matter what. So it covers all of the bases, and I think you can go online, and I think that's available now from Eaton. They've got a lot of different sites. I don't know if it's Eaton or EtonUSA.com, but that should be easy. If you did a search on Eaton Scorpion, you should find it. And then regarding Dice, I don't know the specific distributor. But there'll be a lot of noise, I think, once that is out. They said it'd be a minimum of a month. The unit is done, and they're just waiting for all the packaging and final things to be put together. So I'd look for Dice. If you put in the keywords of Dice and Vision Free, you should be able to find it.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm ready. Okay, Ron, another question, please.
Marcia Moses is next.
Thanks, Mike. What a wonderful presentation, and also to Wes. And my question is regarding the set-top boxes. We have Comcast here, and we have all this wonderful on-demand programming that we can't access because, of course, the menus aren't accessible. So I'm wondering if
Wes Nazareth, the Dice website is www.dice.com.
If it would be possible to, if this box would help with accessing these on-demand menus.
Well, that's the idea, Marcia, to give access, whether it's Comcast or any of these other boxes. I mean, some of these things you can get access to programming online. I think Wes mentioned the URL for Dice. Does somebody want to read that out?
Ron, do you want to read that for Dice for recording purposes? And I'm going to write it down.
Okay. The Dice website is www.dice.org/visionfree. Wait a minute. Let's see.
D-I-C-E.
I'm sorry. Now he has a correction. It's diceelectronics.com/visionfree. I wasn't paying attention.
I don't know the price of that. It seems like it was $199 or something, but don't hold me to it. I know that it wasn't going to be a premium. They were trying to just make it the same price as their regular HD radio.
That's great. That's reachable easily. Okay, good questions, Francis. Another question, Ron?
Rick has a question.
Yeah, excellent presentation, Mike. I have my question was already asked, but maybe I could ask this. Do you have any idea if this DICE radio is going to be a portable radio or a tabletop radio? And I think you said the price is around $199.
I'm guessing on the price. It's not portable. It's not battery operated. Pretty sure it was just wired at this point. And Bob, it is getting close to six. I'm happy to keep going if you would like.
Well, let's see how many questions we have left, Ron and Mike and Wes and everybody, and then we'll wrap it up here. I know it's a holiday. We sure appreciate you guys taking the time here. Ron, how many more questions, please?
The only remaining question is from Gary Wood, who has a second question, if you're ready for second questions.
No, but he's asked one, so we're gonna stop. I want to just ask, sneak in two questions here. One, the Medice, the diabetic thing, is it talking? Does it talk at all? And then tell me more about your speaker that Sendero sells, because I'm calling you tomorrow. I want one, yes, for my Braille note. I mean, you're right, when it's around your belt, you know, you're trying to hear or read Braille, that's okay, but it works. But can I put it on my stream, for example? I have the speaker around my neck and put it on my stream. A lot of times I'm walking with my dog and I want to hear the stream.
The Medice device is not talking. They're discussing that fact. They're working with RNIB in the UK, which is where they're based. However, if you have web access, you can get access to information that way. So to what extent that's accessible, I don't know. As far as speakers, the Orbit Sound T3 you can get on the Internet, or Sendero sells them, and it does hang around your neck. It's meant to hang right around your sternum. You can put it on a desk as well, but it gives you a nice stereo separation when it's hanging on your chest there. It kind of uses your chest as a vibration cavity too.
Very good. Well, let me say to Mike and Wes, we want to thank you on behalf of Accessible World. As I say, it was a holiday for you guys, and we appreciate you coming over. And Mike alerted me, and I said, we've got to clear the way for this because it's timely. And this is what the Tech Talk planning team said. If it's timely, let's do it. Let's make it happen. And we thank you very, very much from Accessible World for being here this evening.
Okay. Bob, my pleasure. I've got quite a few things that I didn't get to. My apologies. I didn't really prioritize them. I just went through as I went through the CES. So I'll try to write those things up and put a blast out on the GPS list and post them on the Sendero website, so at least people have some of my cryptic notes with a few of the other items of interest.
Oh, that'll be great. We thank you. It was a wonderful shopping tour there. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is a dream, and we thank you guys so very much. You guys, the rest of you, again, next week we have Code Factory, the Mobile Speak version 4 with Larry Lewis. In 2 weeks, Walt Kramer, who will give his presentation. You heard a little about that, and we thank you for coming. You can talk all night, as my dear friend Pat Price used to say. This is your room, and enjoy. And thank you so much, everybody, for coming.